quarto di otto. In fact, I thought I was ahead of the class. And the unfortunate thing about heavy glass is that after heavy glass, you feel drowsy because the glass rubber goes to the stomach. It doesn't go to the head. So we might feel a little bit drowsy, but tiredness for that. So we can start now. I'm sure you have seen new faces here from the party. But the meeting is absent. The meeting belongs to them. This is the portfolio committee for science and technology. It's an extension of parliament. Whatever they do it on behalf of the bigger parliament. Mm-hmm. So they thought that today they must see the entities of the STA and you're one of them. So they are seeing you. Just to comment, just to make a comment then about the previous entity that was here. I think they needed to present the holdings that they were presenting to the National Development Plan. They should not have passed that development plan without looking at what they said. It's just a comment. So we've got the new members. I don't think there's a new member that was here before. So members were seeing the HSRC, the acronym for Human Resources Council. I happen to know a few of them, but I won't say who do I know, but I know a few of them from my previous job, which have been fired to come here. So brothers, before we come to you, let's ask the members to present themselves. Maybe let's start that right now with Annelie. So can you start that and come to see?
Good afternoon, I'm Annelie Lockwick, member of the Democratic Alliance, and I'm from the Free State.
Good afternoon, my name is Yolanda Branch. I'm from the Northwest. I'm Chairperson, I'm actually the only remaining member from the previous committee.
Bonjour, lebitso la ka ke na Big Boy Kika from Gauteng. I'm here on behalf of the ANC. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Pastor Matane, committee member.
Thank you, Chair President. My name is Linda Masego, member of the Action National Congress from Gauteng.
Thank you, members. I'm Vivian Bokana. And obviously, the politicians are not accurate, so we are assisted by Shana and the team. We are not going to go through them. So, will that allow you to introduce yourselves and go straight to what you want to tell us about yourselves? We want to know who you are. What are you doing? Why are you using the money so that they are using the taxpayer money that you're doing? Okay. I'm sure the chairperson of the body is around. Maybe he's the one who will lead that people. I don't see the CEO. I happen to know who the CEO is. I don't see her. But he'll tell us where she is.
She is traveling to this afternoon on a research project. Quite an interesting one, but I'm not in a position to expand on that. I am Enrico Liana. I'm Enrico Liana. I'm the Chief Finance Officer at the University of Cape Town, and I serve on the board of the HSRC and chair the Audit and Risk Committee. I've been asked to introduce our team. If you prefer them to introduce themselves, I'd be happy to do so. Or okay, then I'll just run through it. At the extreme right is Dr. Demba Masilela, the Deputy Chief Executive Officer for Research. Then Ms. Priya Singh, the Chief Financial Officer. Faith Corbo, the Executive Director, Operation and Responsible for Performance Information. Dr. Daniel Plykett, Executive Director, Democracy, Governance and Service Delivery. Next to me is Dr. Glenda Kraus, Director, Education and Skills Development, and Professor Dimitri Labadarios, Exec Director, Population Health, Health Systems and Innovation.
Thank you very much. So we can both face with the presentation. But I have to let the fact that belong to you, which is fine.
I'm Julian Jacobs, Director of Communication.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been hoping that the IT people become consistent in terms of projecting the presentation. So, with your permission, Chair, I'll just speak to the presentation.
I'm hoping, member, that what has been...
And thank you, Chairperson. Just to indicate, as Professor Pugliana indicated, that our CEO, Dr. Olive Shifana, is on sabbatical right now and is collaborating with Emory University in the United States on some research projects. Professor Shifana has been with the HSRC now for, I think, 12 to 13 years. Not only leading the HSRC and managing the HSRC, but she's been an active researcher in the areas of HIV and AIDS, working with government in terms of the National Health Insurance Initiative, and also leading the BRICS think tank. So after 12 years of service, she qualified for a sabbatical, and she's currently taking a sabbatical. And Chairperson, she sends her apologies. In terms of the presentation for today, we try to be quite comprehensive in order to introduce ourselves properly to the portfolio committee. So in terms of the outline of the presentation, we look at the vision and mission of the HSRC, the objects of the HSRC Act for 2008, the policy mandates that we received from Parliament, and then focus on the various research areas that we have in the HSRC, the strategic goals of the HSRC, our research programs, and then spend some time talking about some of the flagship projects that we have for 2014 and 2015. I'll then hand over to my colleague, Mr. Faith Corbo, who look at the performance indicators and targets for 2014-15, so speaking very specifically to our annual performance plan. She'll then hand over to Ms. Priya Singh, who's our Chief Financial Officer, who will speak to the budget issues and the return on capital investment and also the management of human capital investment losses and also the issue of transformation. I hope I'm quite well said. I can speak very softly, so please indicate to me if I'm not speaking loudly enough. In terms of the vision and mission of the HSRC, the HSRC was set up by Parliament to be a knowledge hub for research-based solutions to inform human social development in South Africa, the continent, and the rest of the world. Prior to 2008, our mandate was specifically on South Africa, and then 2008, Parliament extended that mandate to include the African continent more broadly. And in terms of our mission, we are a public research organization that advances social sciences and humanities for public use. So the really important things there that we focus on human and social conditions in our country, the actions that are being taken to improve those human and social conditions, and we do so for public purpose. So the next slide indicates the public purpose of the HSRC. This derives from an institutional review that has been done in 5 years, and Parliament then specified the objectives of the HSRC that we have to address as we do our work, and they inform all our work. The first one is really to speak to the developmental challenges in our country, in Africa and the rest of the world, by means of strategic, basic, and applied research in the human sciences. The basic research really focuses on what the knowledge generation activities of the HSRC. The applied research is that our research should be useful to South African public, to South African government. So its relevant researchers should be contacted by the Human Sciences. Human Sciences encompasses both social sciences and the human sciences. The second objective of the HSRC is really to speak to issues of policy. So we have a mandate from Parliament to inform effective policy formulation, effective monitoring of policy, and to evaluate the effective implementation of policy. So with both a knowledge generation mandate, but also a mandate vis-à-vis public policy. In addition to that, we also have a mandate to stimulate public debates on issues affecting the country. And the important thing is really that this engagement with the public and informing the public debate should be based on research. It's not an opinion-based engagement with the media, but it's very much a research-based engagement with the media. We also have a mandate to build research capacity, and in that context, the Parliament has always been very interested in our internship program and the extent to which the HSRC is contributing to the production of PhDs and master's students in our country. We've also been given a mandate to collaborate with other actors in the sector. So we have very active collaborations with most universities in our country and also various partners of the continent and abroad. So we also measure the extent to which we are fulfilling that mandate to collaborate and establish institutional linkages. Very importantly and very specifically, we've also been given a mandate to speak to the needs of vulnerable and marginalized people in our society. So in other words, that our research should not only be driven by those institutions that can actually pay for research, but that HSRC has an obligation to speak to interests and the needs of vulnerable and marginalized people in our society. And that will come through some of the examples we give. And then finally, we have a mandate to make our data sets available to all of the people who work in the sector. So in addition to doing the research, we generate lots of data which has to be available. And this last object is really something that we are focusing on quite heavily going forward. Because many times we were criticized for doing a lot of research but not sharing the data and enabling other researchers to also engage with those issues. Because in terms of the specific policy mandates, we work with most government departments, but I think the particular outcomes that we focus on most heavily. Chairperson, I think he knew my deficiencies. He came to the restaurant. In terms of specific outcomes that we focus on, outcome one on improving the quality of basic education, outcome two in terms of long and healthy life for the people of South Africa, and then outcome five, a skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth. So those are the specific mandates that the Department of Science and Technology has asked us to focus on. But in addition to that, there's a general policy mandate that we have from DST, which is really about the capacity and the effectiveness of the state. So that really underlines the state's ability to address the other specific policy mandates. Very importantly, we focus on the priorities in our country. We generate new knowledge and we strive to change and improve the human and social conditions of our people. In terms of the HSRC more broadly, at any one time, we have approximately 178 research projects on the go. So we are quite a large organization, and those research projects can range from really large five-year research projects through to very short projects that are very responsive to particular needs, and they can be for 3 to 6 months. But all of our research projects touch people. So that's, I think, in terms of the agencies that we are seeing. I think this is one of our unique value adds, is that all the work that we do speaks directly to the people. In terms of the research areas that we work in, these are science, the science system, and issues of innovation. This is requires more treatment in response to DST. Issues of poverty, growing the economy and creating jobs. Education, human and skills development, human and social advancement, skills development, service delivery. We also have program work that looks at issues of crime and violence in our society. Youth, families, children, and issues of social cohesion. Health promotion, health systems, and well-being more broadly. HIV AIDS and the control of sexually transmitted infections. And then finally, in the area of nutrition and food security. In addition to these specific areas, we also have a number of cross-cutting issues that we focus on. These are issues of equality, issues of gender, and issues of race. But as you can see, there's big breadth in terms of the work that we do. And the portfolio committee and parliament give us guidance in terms of particular areas that we should focus on. I won't spend too much time on this slide. Essentially, what we have done is to translate the objectives that were set by the Act. We have translated them into strategic outcome goals. And this is the system that we have put in place in order to track our performance and report on our performance. These outcome goals have then been translated into specific indicators that I want to speak to. I won't spend time on this slide, but to indicate that these have been translated into indicators that we have worked on. Just in terms of how we organize ourselves, Chairperson, an important development this year has been the incorporation of the Africa Institute of South Africa into the Asia Pacific. So we now have an institute, the Africa Institute of South Africa, which functions as a research program for an institute in the Asia Pacific. We also have a research unit which is supported by DST, which is a setup for science, technology, and innovation indicators. We have a democracy and governance and service delivery program, economic performance and development, education and skills development, HIV/AIDS, sexually transmitted diseases, and TB, and this is our largest research program. We also have a program that looks at human and social development. We also have an additional unit that focuses on population health more broadly, health systems and issues of innovation. And then finally, we have a small unit that focuses on research use and impact assessment. And that unit just ensures that we translate our research and that our research has an impact. Because this is the first time we're presenting to the portfolio committee, we thought it would be appropriate for us to highlight some of the flagship projects that we have in order to give the committee an indication of the kind of work that we do. So the first project is called the South African Social Attitudes Survey. This is a survey that we do on an annual basis and we've done it since 2003. And we just find out what are the attitudes of South Africans towards a whole range of issues, including nuclear energy, corruption in society, and we make that information available to government, but we also make it available more broadly. We also produce a State of the Nation book, and this we used to produce it on an annual basis, and we revised that particular project. This book is really, it's a research-based critical review of the work of government. And this really brings into play the role of the agency as a trusted advisor to government, but also as an institution that has an arm's length relationship with government and can provide critical reviews of how the country is doing government performance. And then we also have a city support project, which we are really to indicate that we work at the national level, but we also work at the provincial levels, and we also work with a number of metropoles and in a number of districts as well. The next project we wanted to highlight is the Rural Innovation Assessment Tool. The HSRC has been doing work in the area of innovation for a number of years, but there's always been a concern in DST that there is a lot of innovation taking place in rural areas that we're not capturing. So this was a project funded by DST to create an instrument that would allow us to assess innovation that is taking place in rural areas. The next project is work that we do in terms of the special economy. to address issues of exclusion, the rural-urban divide, and also the really growing issues around informal settlements in our country. So we look at issues around the special economy, we look at indicators, and identify examples of best practice. The next project on the members is work that we do in terms of small-scale farming. There's a lot of work in many institutions that focus on commercial farming. This project essentially looks at various government programs to assist small-scale farmers and the extent to which small-scale farmers have benefited from these various agricultural support projects. The next project focuses on issues of a transition to a low-carbon and climate-resilient economy. And there we're looking at the impact of various initiatives around climate change and low-carbon economy, to assess the extent to which they have an impact on issues of poverty, inequality, and also issues of employment. Shepherd, the next set of projects that we identify are some of the large surveys that we do. But if I was to reduce into one sentence the unique selling point of HSRC, it's our ability to do a large national survey in a whole series of areas. So the first example is the trends in math and science studies that we do. And essentially this is an assessment of how our education system is performing in terms of math and science at various grades. And we work very closely with the Department of Basic Education. And the Department of Basic Education uses this information in terms of its various interventions to improve math and science education in our country. Another flagship project of HSRC is the work that we do in HIV/AIDS. This is a large national survey that we do to assess the prevalence and incidence of HIV in our country. And both the Department of Health and SANEC use information in terms of assessing the effectiveness of our HIV/AIDS interventions and both prevention and treatment interventions. As a person has indicated, we have a lot of acronyms in this presentation and are making a point of specifying precisely what each of those acronyms stands for. The next flagship project, Chairperson, again is what's in the area of HIV/AIDS, and this targets particular populations that are particularly vulnerable to HIV/AIDS. So this project that we're using to illustrate the range of work that we do focuses on men who have sex with men, and looks at the various prevention strategies and the extent to which to model the extent to which HIV is impacting this particular population group, and also the relationship between HIV/AIDS in this particular population group and HIV/AIDS in the broader population. We also have given illustrations of examples where we do research with sex workers and other vulnerable groups. Of course, I've already indicated the work that we do in terms of climate change, so I won't repeat that. Maybe just focus on a new project that we're doing with the Department of Recreation, Sport and Recreation, around social cohesion, and to examine the extent to which various sporting activities in the schools actually begin to create a sense of national identity and improve social cohesion in our country. We're very interested in this project. It's a new area of work for us, and I think it speaks to a critical issue around national identity and social cohesion in our country. Again, to use another example of a project in the area of HIV/AIDS, it really speaks to young people in our country and the extent to which their psychosocial health and mental health is being addressed. Many times we just focus on the fact on the burden of disease and neglect the whole issues around psychosocial support and mental health. In cases where we have child-headed households, what's the impact of the situation on the psychosocial and mental health of these young people? The next project is around youth employment, and essentially this looks at the transition from school to work, and it examines the question, to what extent do young people have the navigational capabilities in order to transition from work to environment, from school to work, and what are the various interventions that can be put in place in order to assist young people to find jobs, but also be job creators in our own right. The next project is a more conceptual project question, which is really looking at the concept of social and emotional learning. Many times when we look at school, we just focus on cognitive learning. You know, what are the children learning in terms of subject matter? So this project looks at, in terms of social and emotional learning, how much of that is occurring in schools? And what is the relationship between this social and emotional learning and risk behaviors of young people? The second project is a very big survey that we've done in the area of health and nutrition. And we have done the first such survey of the African National Health and Applied Nutrition Survey, which looks at a whole range of issues in terms of the health of our people, both in terms of their responses to a survey, also in terms of the biological markers that indicate, for instance, the extent to which people are smoking. And Shepherd, I would just like to note that the delegation that we have brought this afternoon has people to speak to all of these particular areas who will be able to respond to any questions that members of the committee have on this project. The final project is some work that we're doing around tobacco and the extent to which various tobacco control programs are effective. The final set of projects, Chairperson, are split to issues around tobacco and youth risk behavior. It is a large project that we are starting just now on maternal health and maternal and infant mortality, which is a large survey to fill some of the information gaps that we have in terms of maternal mortality and infant mortality. And a very small but very interesting project that we're doing around street food. A lot of food that gets consumed is food that gets sold on the streets. What effect is this nutrition? And what are some of the interventions that can be put in place in order to make street food much more efficient? And then finally, the dedicated research work that we do for the Department of Science and Technology. We do a survey of R&D, research and development activities in our country. And this looks at the extent to which there is expenditure on research and development, and I know more recently government has made a commitment to increasing expenditure on research and development in order to make us much more competitive. And also the extent to which we have adequate human resources for research and development, and also the various fields of research in which this R&D expenditure is going into. This is a dedicated survey that provides critical information from the Department of Science and Technology, and that has also been complemented by a survey that we do on innovation activities in our country, all of which speaks to issues of competitiveness. Chairperson, I'd now like to hand over to Ms. Faith Kobo, who speaks to our performance indicators.
Based on our strategic goals, we have divided our work into ADEPT, what we call ADEPT, with five strategic goals of intercultural, and the knowledge advancement, where we're focusing on knowledge generation, and where we focus on the quality of our research output. We've got peer-reviewed journal articles as an indicator. This indicator measures the extent that our senior researchers and above, they are able to publish with internationally accredited scientific journals. And we also measure scholarly books and book chapters. These book chapters must be published in accredited books, and they must be peer reviewed as well. In as much as we look at publications across the board for researchers, but for the purpose of the strategic plan, we're only including the strategic indicators, not all the indicators on publications. So the targets you're seeing here, they're not focusing on everything that we publish, but the selected indicators for strategic purposes. Then we also measure the knowledge dissemination, which is done through the research seminars that we convey or we convene at HSRC, and also publish our HSRC review, which is doing one here. our exercise service unification. That is another form of disseminating knowledge to our stakeholders. And also to satisfy our mandate of informing government policy and reviewing the policy and implementation thereof, we publish policy bridge. We have our targets on an annual basis to develop and to research and then develop a policy bridge based on our research and publish those to inform government policy. In terms of collaborating with other institutions and other researchers, we look at active MOUs, measuring MOUs where we have done work during that particular period. Not just an MOU that is signed, but an MOU where there was work conducted during a specific period. And we also focus on our research projects. For the current year, we targeted 16 research projects completed. That means starting from writing a proposal and getting funding and conducting the study and completing the study. And the second initiative related to that one is also the research report that will be produced by the end of the financial year. Another indicator that we use to measure our progress in research and how our research impacts or addresses issues in Africa is the recruitment of African research fellows within HSR to conduct research. And we also measure collaboration within the research programs of the HSRC themselves. So where there is a project that researchers on different programs participating in, we also track those our structured collaboration research projects. We only count the ones that have been completed for that particular year. And to satisfy our mandate also of developing research capacity, we measure the extent to which we attract interns into our master's research internship program, as well as the PhD internship program, and we also affect the attraction of postdoctoral fellows. Starting from the financial year 2013-14, we've also started measuring to what extent our master's and our PhD interns are publishing. We've added those indicators, which is indicator 21. 19 and 21, 22, where we measure the journal articles in internationally accredited scientific journals pay an intern, research intern, whether PhD or master's intern. And also in terms of preserving knowledge, we look at the preservation of data sets and also ensure that these data sets are able to be made available for other researchers to conduct secondary research. We also look at our transformation indicators. So transformation indicators, they look at the number of senior researchers who are African. By African means the definition of black South African. So we count the number of those in relation to our total senior researchers of the HSRC. And we also assess the number of female senior researchers at the HSRC. And on financial sustainability, we're measuring our sustainability by looking at our ability to attract external funding in addition to what Parliament gives us. And we have annual targets to achieve this. And we also look at our ability to attract research funding that is multi-year, three years and more. That's our indicator 33 and 32. And then we also drive our anti-corruption campaign, where we ensuring that everybody declare their interest on an annual basis, and then we also measure our stakeholder engagement. I will stop there and take comments. Sophie, I will hand over to Priya.
Thank you, Chairperson. The HSRC is operating on a budget of $464 million for the current financial year. Our key income will be derived from the Department of Science and Technology, which amounts to R276 million. The research income harvest, which Faith spoke to a little earlier, is the income that we attract from the external markets for the purpose of conducting research. For the current financial year, our research income target is set at R156 million. We further derive other income from the rental of our building in Pretoria, which is owned by the HRC, and rented by the Department of Social Development, which we have a budget of R32 million. Our salaries are R225 million for the financial year. Goods and services amounts to 197 million of our budget, and other expenses amount to 41 million. In terms of how we spend our money, the ratio between parliamentary bonds and total external income is 59% received from the Department of Science and Technology, 51% from external income. Our total stock cost as a percent of our parliamentary bonds is 82%, which leaves us with approximately 18% for maintenance and other expenditure. Our direct stock cost as a percent of our total cost is 49%, so half our total cost relates to salary expenditure. Included in our budget for this current financial year is 42 million rand, which relates to the ring fence activity from the Africa Institute of South Africa, which was incorporated into HSRC from the 1st of April 2014. In terms of some of the challenges that we encounter as an organization in relation to budget and funding, firstly, capital expenditure. Our building is more than 25 years old and is in dire need of infrastructure upgrades. We do try to fund this through any surplus that we have at the end of every financial year, and in terms of external income purposes. And unfortunately, we do require additional funding to upgrade the building. But I just think the performance targets and ensuring that we align our indicators, due to the fact that we receive a portion of our funding from external markets, presents a bit of a challenge to us. Creating a knowledge hub of dissemination, this relates to the manner in which we disseminate our information and our visibility in the market, and certainly providing more funding to our corporate communications division to enable them to increase the visibility of HSRC, both locally and on the continent and internationally. The future growth of the HSRC is certainly dependent on the growth in the parliamentary fund, and we do require additional support from government to ensure that we can grow as an organization and support our primary objectives. Our salary does absorb a large percentage of the parliamentary grants, which leaves us with favorable funding to support expenditure and upgrade to our building, which does present a bit of a challenge. Finally, we do find that our cash flow is constantly under pressure. So this is the fact that we receive parliamentary grants for every year, and we require to, between those periods of time, fund our expenditure through external income, which is taxable in nature. In terms of the significant critical areas of the HSRC that are underfunded and require funding, we are trying to create the research infrastructure within the HSRC. And due to the fact that we are required to source funding from the external market, a number of our research projects are funded internationally and externally, and we are trying to create research infrastructure that is funded for government specifically. We have made a number of submissions, infrastructure and non-infrastructure based submissions to National Treasury through the Department of Science and Technology to enable us to create research infrastructure within the HRC, which will reduce the cost of our research to some extent and allow us to carry out more research projects in the financial year than we currently are able to due to our restraints in terms of cost. And finally, we do require additional funding in terms of capacity enhancement, attracting and retaining masters, interns, and building a pipeline of new and emerging researchers within the HSRC.
Thank you, Jacqueline. If I could briefly speak to some of the key initiatives over the next 3 to 10 years that HSRC will be focusing on. The first one, my colleague Priya has already indicated, in terms of the large national surveys that we do in the areas of education, of health, R&D, etc. Some of these are funded by government, but there's a number of them that are not funded by government. And these research projects provide essential research, essential information for government in terms of its health interventions, in terms of its education interventions. And we are really requesting for more support for my government to sustain these surveys over the long term. Because once we do them on a regular basis, they provide us with trend information that is really essential in order to evaluate the effectiveness of programs. So across the various research that we do, social attitudes, HIV/AIDS, maths and science, health and nutrition, maternal and child mortality, a key focus for the next 3 years is going to be to get adequate funding to continue doing this work. The second key initiative is really around the research infrastructure that Priya referred to, in order to do this research, but also to initiate new surveys in the areas of youth employment, migration, spatial development and social cohesion. These are areas in which we do research, but we don't do large national surveys that provide us with trend information. Another key initiative is really around data. There's a lot of data that is being generated by various actors and institutions in the country, but we don't have a central repository for that information. So the proposal is to set up what we call a South African Social Science and Humanities Data Archive that will be available to all organizations and institutions in the country. And then the last key initiative over the next 3 years is the work that's supported by DST in terms of rural innovation and utilizing that particular instrument to assess the extent to which the innovation taking place in rural areas, and more importantly, how do we link that, that innovation to planning at the district level. In terms of most of long-term initiatives, critical areas really in terms of the green economy. A lot of work has been done by CSIR in this area, but there are social aspects to the green economy that each party should be investigating. So, over the medium to long term, a critical area of growth for the HRC is going to be in terms of the green economy. And of course, I think further down the line, the blue economy, the extent to which South Africa is exploiting, the extent to which it is a maritime nation, both in terms of the Indian Ocean, but also in terms of the Atlantic. And another key area over the medium term is really state interventions in the economy. There's been a strong focus in terms of the mining sector, a strong focus in terms of land issues. But that whole issue around state intervention, how can state intervention can be made more effective in the economy, is another growth area in terms of the work PTFRC will be doing. I think it's a year ago, 2 years ago, there was the Presidential Commission on State-Owned Enterprises, and the HRC did some work with that commission. But I think going forward, both in terms of state-owned enterprises, but also in terms of land reform, HRC needs to build this capacity to do work in those areas. In terms of the Africa Study Center, this was a proposal that had been tabled, I think, about 2 years ago, and has now been overtaken by events. The Africa Institute of South Africa has now been incorporated into the HSRC. So really the critical challenge going forward is the extent to which the HSRC research supports the Africa agenda of South Africa. As I indicated at the beginning, Chair, our CEO has been supporting the work of the BRICS think tank, but we really feel that there's much more work that we could do in terms of the role of South Africa in Africa, but also the role of Africa in South Africa. I indicated earlier to the person that we do surveys that focus on R&D expenditure and innovation surveys. This work is quite important, but DST has requested us, excuse me, DST has requested us to expand this work so that we can better inform policy in the area of science and technology and innovation. So one of the things we want to do over the medium to long term is to enhance the HRC's capacity to do policy analytical work in the area of science, technology and innovation. And then for financial person, when we joined you early this afternoon, you mentioned one of the entities that had come before us, the extent to which their work spoke to the National Development Bank. And again, for the HRC, this is a critical initiative over the medium to long term. First step would be a very systematic engagement with government's medium-term strategic framework to get a very good sense of the priorities of government over the strategic framework, and then begin doing some sort of analysis in terms of the effectiveness of those interventions and the linkages between the medium-term strategic framework and the national development plan. We've been requested by the portfolio committee and parliament to really speak to the question about the return on the investment. And as my colleague had indicated, we do measure the extent to which the interns at the HRC, both in terms of master's interns, PhD interns, and postdocs, are producing peer-reviewed journal articles. So it's the return on investment in terms of knowledge generation by interns. In addition to that, we are proposing to develop indicators that allow us to examine the extent to which our interns are participating in the processes of writing grant proposals, are participating in writing research reports, and also participating in actual implementation of research. In fact, we're actually beginning to create another generation of researchers to continue the work in terms of social science research.
Chairperson, in relation to the management of human capital investment losses, the HSRC at the 31st of March 2014 had a turnover rate of 6.1%, which is below the industry average of 10%. However, we have identified human capital as a loss investment, and we commit 50% of our funding towards human capital. Strategies that we have implemented organization-wide include the introduction of collaborative research projects of the HSRC to allow research to diversify. I refer specifically to Indicator 12, which measures the extent to which our research programs collaborate with each other in terms of their research programs. The second is the HSRC Performance Management System. We have developed and implemented a very specific performance management system, which rolls down from our strategic plan and our annual performance plan, where we ensure that individuals who have exceeded their expectations are rewarded for their efforts. And finally, there's a strong focus in the HSRC on accountability of managers and ensuring that human capital resources are developed within the organization and training and development is provided across the board to both our research and administrative staff. In terms of the gender and transformation spread of the HSRC, as of the 31st of March 2014, we had a total of 502 employees on our permanent payroll. 62% of those employees are female. 63% of those employees are African. We do have a number of indicators in our annual performance plan to measure our progress against these two targets, gender and transformation. The first being senior researchers, which are at senior research specialists and senior research manager and above, who are African. Our progress is 42%. Senior researchers who are female, the target is 45%. The percentage of African researchers in the HSRC, a target of 54%. The percentage of our researchers who are female, 57%. The percentage of African research managers on hay grade 6 to 10, 47% target. And the percentage of female research managers on hay grade 6 to 10 is 44%. So our target for the financial year. Thank you. I hand over to Dr. Martirella to final slides.
Thank you for that. Shepard, just to properly conclude this presentation, to acknowledge the support of the Minister of Science and Technology, the Deputy Minister, and the Department of Science and Technology that makes the work of the HSRC possible. To also acknowledge the support and consistent support that the HSRC has received from the Portfolio Committee of Science and Technology, and we acknowledge the Chair and the members of the committee for your support. To also acknowledge the support that's been provided by the Board of HSRC. Now, we in the HSRC always say that we've been blessed with very good board members that focus on their oversight and providing strategic guidance and enable the HSRC to focus in terms of doing its own operational work. So we acknowledge the role played by the chair of the board, the members of the board, and the various committees of the board. And of course, finally, the work would not be possible without our staff. So we acknowledge the contributions made by all of our staff. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Dr. Thomas. I think we must thank you even for investing in some of our people. I think there's an investment that was done to Shana. One of her letters that started sitting here. So it was an investment. Now she's here, she's helping us because you may be able to get honors in education. So we must acknowledge that question. Thank you very much, Mr. Masilela. I think, member, I think there's something that you noticed that is very clear. That research and technology is very key for the whole government of South Africa for planning. But I don't think we've been using it to do this. Neither do I think that the two spheres of government, that is, the cabinet and parliament, are aware of the important knowledge and information that is in this Department of Science and Technology to plan for South Africa. We've been worried, I know some of the people have been worried in investing in South Africa because there's this big gap between the rich and the poor. You name all those things. But if you've got information, it would be easy for you to say, now I've got the information and this is what I'm going to do. But we seem not to know that there was so much information. But in any case, let's engage them on questions. I see Junita has got a question already. Who else has got a question so that we can, on Asia Saturday? Okay, big boy and okay.
Thank you, Jay. This is normally not the committee where politics are coming to play, but unfortunately this one segment that is on Bay City will have me to cause this is raising this following question. And the second bullet point from the top, state intervention in the economy, mining sector, state and enterprise and land reform. I just want to state that this is in direct contrast to the National Development Plan, which was adopted by Parliament and by Cabinet. It's such city of the report that we have in front of us. Nowhere in the National Development Plan that say that state intervention is going to happen. So I find it actually perturbing that this is one of the new initiatives that you are actually asking us for support. Because this is not what we will support. We are vehemently opposed to this. This is basically National Democratic Revolution seek. It is not part of the National Development Plan.
Can I ask the Honourable Member to explain what is her understanding of that bullet point? I don't see anything from so state must intervene where there's a problem in any area or any question. Maybe what is your understanding?
I think it is not for you to answer. You were just saying something that you wanted to say. But maybe can you answer that one, Jonathan?
Okay, it is quite clear that they said they were going to do, they were asked to do some research on what state intervention they could do in the economy. And like I said, it is very clear that this differentiates from what is the plan outlined and put in front of us in the National Development Plan for the way forward in this country. And this is not saying that there must be intervention when there's problems. This is not what the season is saying. This is saying state intervention.
I think just ask you about 5 minutes to this content that one of the members got. Okay, Director.
Maybe let's appreciate and know to her colleagues, but it does not necessarily mean that what she is saying is or her understanding of the state intervention in the economy. As we speak, the state is intervening in the economy. It's a question of probably her reading when she says this traditional democratic revolution. There are many papers and things that have been written about state intervention in the economy. And in her mind, moving from her perspective as a member of the GA, it's like, now they are going to do a research that the state will come and take over in the mining sector, with the state on the enterprises anyway, these are state, I mean, Cabinet is Transnet. It's 100% owned by the state. So they don't even have to write it here, because that is the fact, it's there. And even in the mining sector, there's a state mine company that is 100% owned by the state. And they've got other interests in different companies that are in mining. I'm referring to the South African state. And the issue around land. A conclusion was reached and everybody accepts that the system that we're using is not going to help us to get the land distributed or to get the previously disadvantaged communities, to use better English, get access
to land.
So there must be active involvement of the state to make sure that there is redress as far as land is concerned. I don't want to say she's saying that the HSRC is supporting state initiatives to nationalize the economy. I'm not saying she's saying that, because she's not saying that, but what she's saying is it's more about this is ANP. You know, she didn't say it, but in a way implying that. But I don't see anything wrong with this formulation that is stated here, which is in conflict with the National Development Plan. Because in any case, the National Development Plan is talking about active, a developmental state playing a role in a transformation of the economy of the country. There is no conflict here. And I think she's just reading into the same things that are not there.
Before we come to the chamber to answer some of the questions that are going to be coming, let's just complete this part. I think the DA is worried about the statement that has been made. I think maybe if we can go a little bit back and look at where we come from as far. There's a very big gap between the rich and the poor. At the Gini coefficient is increasing instead of coming down. And I think all of us agree that is something that was by law in South Africa. It was not a mistake that it happened. It happened because it was made to be law that it can't be like that. Now somebody who does a research and picks up something, they will say honestly what they see as a necessity to bridge the gap. But in saying so, they don't say do it by force or by... They are not forcing you to do it. But they are saying one of the things that can bridge the gap is 1, 2, 3. Now, I don't... this, unfortunately, resonates well with the people that are coming from the ANC. Because for them, what they were fighting for... In fact, if you look at how the ANC started, well, we started long before 1912, but the ANC came into being in 1912 after there was a law that was passed to say that no African is going to own land. Then the same ANC said, okay, let's form an organization, let's do this. And that's when it was formed. And the key was this. And in fact, some people interpret poverty. But I don't think we need to go there, because we want to, all of us, to stay in the country and so on. But what one is saying as a researcher, you say, this is what needs to happen. Whether you take it as government or as parliament, it's up to you. But we're not forcing you to take it, but this is our observation. And they should. I don't think they need to remove it. They should leave it there. And it does not mean that they are members of the ANC. They're just researchers, and they're talking honestly what they see. Now, whether this is taken up by government or it's not taken up by government, it's up to the recommendations of the committee when they come. But what one would be calling for is that some of the things that make us to be emotional, I don't think they should make us emotional. Neither do we want to be in a situation which other countries have gone to. But one thing that we have to accept as a people of South Africa is that a damage was done. We don't have to go back and say, who did it? But if we can accept that damage is still going to remain with us psychologically and otherwise, now we need to find a way, all of us, to say, these are human beings. They were underdone. How do I contribute in making them better in our lives? And we try and move forward, rather than be emotional and say, no, this
should not have a, but we should be looking at how do we come closer together and enjoy this country by saying, we did something wrong, we accept it. There's somebody that I used to, like, I don't know whether she's still alive or not, but she used to be called Edness. She was a politician in Eastern Cape. She used to belong to National Party. You know that lady stood up in Parliament and said, you know, we were misinformed. We were given wrong information to an extent that we thought other people were not human beings. Now we know that those people are human beings. We don't have to fight, but we accept, we apologize for what we did. We neither expect that we're going to compensate you for what we did, but all we want is to stay together and find solutions together in attending to the disaster that happened in this country. And all I'm calling for is that let's leave this, because it is done by researchers and they're just giving their own opinion. I don't think they're aims, but they're not forcing the government to do anything. But on the other side, is it very difficult for us to understand where we come from? Is it very difficult where we want to go as a country to say all we want to reconcile and work together and make sure that we make a better country? Without fighting each other, I think we've had too many fights. Why can't we just say, we acknowledge this was wrong, we want to correct it in one way or another, but there's not going to be any compensation, but we want to correct it and move forward. I know this is a very emotive issue, and I don't want us to go that direction. But okay, you can come.
Thanks, Jay. I didn't want it to be a long thing. I think it's unlike when other members said, to match up the perspective. I firstly just want to say, as the GA, we fully understand the history of our country, and we accept, and we know, and we agree, and we also want to have redress and reconciliation for what happened in the past. We just see a different way for it to happen, and that's basically what it's about. We live in free enterprise. We don't live in state intervention. That's basically where the difference comes in. So it's basically a policy difference. It's not a difference in a viewpoint that what happened in the past was ghastly and shouldn't have happened, or that we should, that reconciliation and redress shouldn't happen. It's basically a policy and ideological issue about that we believe in non-state intervention and in free enterprise. So that's basically it, in short, what it's about.
Essentially, in fact, I think we are not water. Water will always go down, will never move up, unless you pull it up yourself. So we are bound to disagree on certain things. But all I'm trying to say is that can we accept that we want to build South Africa for everybody? If you come with a strategy, come with a strategy, but at the end of the day, it is going to be the people of South Africa who accept your policy, or accept the agency's policy, and so on, and will allow them to do that, to say, the policy of DA, the policy of agency, the policy of this, is saying this, but we are voting this one, and if it so happens that the majority says this is what we want, then we'll accept that. But these ones, they're not saying that this must be the policy, they're just saying what they've found out in their investigation. But our policies are going to be the one who don't ask people to vote us on those policies. And if they happen to vote those ones, it's okay. But we'll have to, being a democratic country, a country by the people for the people, they will decide which one they want. I think let's just leave it at that, and let's leave the researchers with what they have said. Maybe let's close this one and go further and ask questions that they'll be able to respond to. Or you want to say something, people?
Yes, Lord,
I will respect what you have voted on. I can't talk about this provocative issue. I wanted to talk about the presentation And you know, sometimes if you are driving a left, you must understand that others will drive this side on the right. But at the end of the day, people should know that there will be a winner. And I just want to say to my colleagues, you know, like it or not, the winner is one. It's ANC. And we are all here to implement what ANC wants. That's all. Not what DA wants. That's why DA is an opposition to the ruling party. And here, we are in the portfolio committee listening to the researchers, what they are doing for us. Why can't we support what exactly they are presenting to us? Without interrogating them politically. If you want political interrogation, why can't you request a portfolio meeting whereby we'll be able to talk more than each other? So mine is simple. I welcome the presentation, and it's really nice. And I can see that even the CEO and Deputy Director General, Dr. Ngoma, now your listening skills, it shows that they are good. Why? Because of there was a time whereby we requested them that, comrades, you stop coming here and report kind of percentage. So you must give us percentage and number. And it's exactly what the Masilela delegation is doing, which means they have. No, thanks very much. We don't want hard language whereby it seems as we are hiding other things. But there's one thing that I will want to know. There's this language of goods and services. It's very hard to imagine. Goods and services, it seems as you are hiding something from us. Tell us what are those good services and goods and services. And again, Mamlin, there's another language, external income. Who is giving you external income? You know, you are here to account. And you must tell us everything. If it means that we need to take 4 hours here, let it be so. Unlike that, you will come here with hard language, whereby other members cannot even understand you. You see now, for example, the state intervention that caused the whole rap. And it's just a simple language whereby everyone should understand. 49% of salary going to the staff. Right? Is a big question. Only 51% is going to the operation. And then it will be obvious. No. It means that maybe only 1% is going to the operation. Because there must be tools of work that's supposed to be acquired. Especially when it comes to research. I've got a little worried about it. That there are things that you need to have for you to complete that research. So you hide many things here. You hide many things. Can you, maybe today you can give us a few minutes answer, but can you go back and make sure that you give us a well-expanded answer on this one? Because, you know, Chairperson, when opens this meeting, he said that we took this matter to Parliament because we respected this department. To say that no, what we are giving is little, is too little. What am I saying? I don't want to discuss. I wanted to say exactly what he said. And while the narrator requesting that you get a bigger in the chunk, then Masilela, you will go to 62% of Zana. Yes, sir. You see, it now gives us suspicions that we wanted the job to. You are doing a beautiful job. Make no mistake. But now when you come here to the money switches us now, you wanted to play another game. And please, don't spoil your job. What you are doing is perfect and good. So make sure that you attack this good and services and salary for staff and this external income. And here you are getting money from somewhere. You are not only relying to the government. So do it more. Then HR issues check. Even though they show us female HR females and us, so what is happening. But let us get exactly the balance. Exactly the balance. And lastly, you know, I'm waiting also the eradication of unemployment. What is your plan? Assisting the Africans to get what you are getting. Your plans. And said, with all respect, thank you very much.
You're going to be responding to those, but I want to question you on the other one. I think it's something that we need to look at as a committee at some stage. As a committee, we want to leave you out. We want to look at it as a committee. But you can go on to the other ones in detail. I've seen you, Malin, where you are having your hand up. Okay.
I'm coming to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. To thank Dr. Masilela and the team for their presentation. And also congratulate you on the clean audit that you received in the past 2 financial years. Just that the other one was unqualified to find it. And the last 2 years were clean. On the research project that you spoke about, the 178 research projects, are they attainable? Are they smart? Those 178 are they not biting too much more than 2? And I just want to find out if do you get payment for work done, especially by government departments. You do a lot of work with a number of departments. Sometimes your cash flow is hampered by non-payment or non-payment on time. Especially starting with departments, government departments, I'm sure. And on the issue of the green economy that you spoke about and envisaging that it will create jobs, How many jobs do you estimate that would be created by that initiative, the Green Economy Initiative? And of your whole objective, the dedication to the attainment of the MCT, do you find yourself there and ensuring that the MCT then attain what is out there to achieve, and I mean the bottom line is better in the life of the people of South Africa. And lastly, is your participation on parliamentary oversight research? I know you did some work for Outland Legislature on some kind of research thereof. But do you also see yourself ensuring that there should be that aspect of research and also capacitating the research capacity of legislators so that then they are able to use that in ensuring that the oversight over the executive is done sufficiently. I'll end there. So. And then lastly, that the incorporation of AIS, the HSRC, how has it progressed and what challenges? So.
Thank you, Marlene. Oh, okay, and
thanks, Chair. I know that you have ruled that we can't say anything about the other topic, but I'm just going to say the following. I think we are perhaps talking at cross purposes. And I think my colleague actually wanted to ask whether that's the statement that is actually as stated, or is it perhaps just a formulation problem that you are doing research on the effects or the possibilities or whatever of state intervention and not state intervention per se. I think that was intentional. Chair, and then maybe also, correct me if I'm wrong, but what we are having today is we're getting a bird's eye view of the different entities, and that we're not doing an in-depth analysis of the budgets, etc., etc. So I just want to put them at ease that they're not doing their job by not presenting us absolute detail today, because I understood the brief has been giving us an overview of the entity so that we can understand the new members. I would like to ask on page 30, the infamous page 30 by now, the Institute for Science, Technology and Innovation, with a focus on job creation, skills development. I don't know whether I missed that, but how does this stand vis-a-vis the Technology Innovation Agency? Do you have perhaps similar overlapping purposes or functions? How do you differentiate between the two? And then in terms of the staff complement and the payroll for staff, it is very high. I do understand that I think most of it is for researchers, which one had to obviously remunerate substantially to retain them. But is your position sustainable, given that you're so dependent on external income? What's your prognosis in that regard? Thank you.
Well, I did say, on the other hand, maybe we'll give over to you. I think it is important to say, when we started, our interest was to get to know the department. And we noticed that most of the budget goes to entities. So we wanted to see those entities, and we want to have a feel of what's going on in those entities. But members, being members, they're supposed to do an oversight, so they might go overboard and ask you other questions. But there is going to be a time where we'll be interrogating you deeply on in some of the things. But as for now, it was just an overview, like a best idea of looking what's happening in the Department of Science and Technology. So we'll ask you, Dr. Kemper, to answer the questions with your team, try and go through those questions, and we'll take them from there.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, members of the Portfolio Committee. We always welcome the engagement with the Portfolio Committee, so thank you very much. The first issue raised was around production or generation of information for planning purposes. We have a very strong relationship with the Department of Planning, performance planning, monitoring and evaluation. And we have done some work around the 20-year review. We also assisted government in terms of some of the work that fed into the National Development Plan. So the HSRD is committed to continuing to do research that informs the implementation of the various plans that government does and the implementation of various programs. The act of the HSRC is also very clear that the HSRC has to be independent and non-partisan. And we strive in all of our research efforts to be non-partisan and to be independent. We do research, we're not policymakers. We do research on the effectiveness of various interventions. The policymakers and politicians make those decisions. So I apologize if the way I have framed certain things in the presentation did not underline the fact that this is research to inform policymaking by parliamentarians, by policymakers. some of the questions that were raised around the specifics in terms of goods and services, external income, the extent to which our budget is devoted to salaries, and some of the HR issues. I'll refer to my colleague, Ms. Priya Singh, the Chief Financial Officer. The first question that I'd like to pick up is really around issues of employment. And to be very frank, this is an area where the HSRC needs to do more research. I think about 4 or 5 years ago, we did some work on employment scenarios. And some of the employment scenarios for the National Development Plan are based on the understanding of the HSRC. But we are convinced that right now we're not doing enough work on the relationship between employment and a whole series of other interventions, including the green economy. So first, this is really an area we want to facilitate the HSRC to do work that assesses the extent to which various initiatives and programs have an impact on employment. So we accept the remarks by the portfolio committee that this is an area that we need to do more research in terms of employment scenarios and the relationship between various programs and the employment situation in our country. Chairperson, if I can request, unfortunately our delegation, we don't have somebody representing our economic performance and development program. But as the chairperson has indicated, in our subsequent engagements with the portfolio committee, we will speak to these particular issues that the committee has raised. And I will report back vis-a-vis the question of employment. And in our future presentations, much more detailed focus on the work we're doing around employment. Chairperson, the 178 research projects, that is something that we're actually trying to reduce significantly because it puts tremendous stress on people. One of the indicators that we have is the number of multi-year projects that we have. Because that's really a much more sustainable model when you reduce the actual number of projects and you do the projects over a longer time. Unfortunately, that's a particular target that we've always struggled to meet. Not entirely in our control. But we are very conscious of the fact that reducing the number of projects and making them more multi-year enhances our sustainability. This is an issue that has come up in various institutional reviews of the HSRC, and it is a major risk factor that we put in our strategic risk framework and make sure there are mitigation strategies in place. Payments by government departments, chairperson. On the whole, we have no problems, a major problem with government departments in terms of payment for services. We have very good working relationships with government. What I would say is that in some cases, some municipalities may have slight delays in effective payments, but eventually most of these issues are resolved. If we have any challenges, it's really at the municipal level. The question around the green economy and I'm not able to answer the question right now, but I'd like to assure the chairperson and the member that this is something that we will speak to in our subsequent engagements with the portfolio committee. What I would say, chairperson, is that we have made a proposal to do working with the and it's our real hope that going forward, in terms of some of the proposals we've made to the Development Bank of South Africa, some of the proposals we've made to the Department of Environmental Affairs, we'll be successful in getting one of these proposals funded so that we can do much more detailed and specific work around modeling the relationship between various green economy issues and issues related to this. I agree with you in terms of the importance of the HSRC doing research work that speaks to the goals in the national development. Over the years, we have tried to align the research work of the HSRC to priorities for the country. So issues around health, education, the economy, etc. And especially going forward, there needs to be a much closer alignment between the work of the HSRC and then from areas of work in the national going forward, we need to be working with the LTD and the various areas of the National Development Bank. I'm very pleased by the question around the leaders to the HFRC and Parliament, and the extent to which HFRC is assisting both parliamentarians and leaders in Parliament, both to provide them with the necessary information and to facilitate their research done. Shepard, I'd like to bring to your attention that in the previous Parliament we had a process for negotiating an MOU, which unfortunately wasn't finalized by the time the term of the previous Parliament came to an end. But we would like to resurrect that process of negotiating an MOU between Parliament and the HSRC, so that more work that gets done by the HSRC feeds into the work of various portfolios, committees and government in Parliament, that we also enable that research information to be accessible to members of Parliament, and also work with the various researchers in various portfolio committees. So we would like to facilitate that process of negotiating an MOU, ensuring that we have a much more structured and productive relationship with Parliament, all just around research and research information. Chairperson, the questions around the cooperation of the Africa Institute of South Africa. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the support and leadership that has been provided by the Department of Science and Technology. They set up an incorporation management committee, which involves AISA, UTC, and ESC. And this work, the work of this integration management committee still continues, because we fully acknowledge that any merger or incorporation is really a medium-term project. And there will be a whole series of challenges that need to be addressed as we bed down the incorporation of the Africa Institute of South Africa. What I would say is that we are very pleased by the very positive attitude that has been displayed by the staff of AISA and also the staff of the HFRC. We have gone very far in terms of integrating our various policies, our various systems. We also presented to DSC an integrated strategic plan and an integrated performance plan. And we also have indicators that are quite specific to the Africa Institute of South Africa. So we have made been successful on various fronts, but I'd like to acknowledge that at the level of people-to-people interaction and at the level of organizational culture, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done to ensure that that merger of two institutions is one that accommodates both cultures and that enables both components to meet the target that I've been specified. Just to clarify, Chairperson, the proposal around the Institute for Science, Technology and Innovation. Essentially, Chairperson, this was to acknowledge that the HFRC has been doing very good work in terms of generating empirical information about our science system. But this empirical information needs to be complemented by a more policy analytical work. Now, our discussions with DST, this is one of the areas where we felt the HFRC going forward needs to complement the empirical work with more analytical work that can be more relevant to policy formulation. So this is a proposal to set up an institute that would focus much more on policy work and also complement, for instance, the Center of Excellence that has been set up at Stellenbosch on science, technology and innovation policy. So in addition to collaborating with TIA, we'd also collaborate with the Center of Excellence at Stellenbosch. We have an MOU with TIA that fortunately in the past year we were not able to agree on concrete collaboration with TIA, which is a technology innovation agency. But it is very clear that in terms of their work, in terms of commercializing various innovations, these are a sort of dimension to the acceptance of various innovations. And we have proposed to the Technology Innovation Agency that we do collaborative research around the social acceptability of certain technologies, why certain technologies are adopted, why other technologies are not adopted. So we do have quite a strong collaboration with TIA, but it hasn't yet manifested itself in political collaborations. The issue around the payroll and sustainability, I'll leave to my colleague. Thank you, Chairperson.
The money lady.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first question that was asked around the explanation of goods and services, We have provided a detailed breakdown in terms of the cost and page 33 of our annual performance plan, but I can just quickly take you through. The business services comprises of communication costs, consultants, contractors and special services, maintenance, repairs and running costs, operation leases, travel and assistance, research costs, as well as other operation costs. The other costs which also factor into goods and services include depreciation, interest and rent on land, and financial transactions and assets and liabilities. Those are the different categories of expenditure that comprise goods and services in entirety. In terms of our external income targets, I can comment very briefly on our previous financial year, which has just ended. We have been audited of the 121 million that we have achieved in terms of our external income targets. 51 million rand, which is 41% of the target, came from international funding agencies. 41 million, which comprises 33%, came from national government departments. And then 27 million, which comprises 21%, came from other agencies such as the United Nations agencies, the International Labour Organization, etc. That is the breakdown of our external income. The target is largely set, it's a variable at the beginning of the financial year, so it's very difficult for us to estimate at the beginning of the year from which sources that income will derive. So this is the historical information that I can provide to you at this stage. The information on salaries and payroll and sustainability. What I can say in this regard, chairperson, is that yes, our salary pool is high, but we are in a very competitive market, specifically for research staff in relation to universities who do sometimes coach our researchers. What we have done to reduce some of the pressure on our salary pool is to have our research staff, as well as administrative staff who work on research projects, tie both directly to the research project at least 40% of their time. And we recover their salaries through those research projects, which sources through into our external income number. So we have tried to create a mechanism in which we recover 40% of those salaries externally. And this then enables us to reduce some of the pressure on parliamentary grant. But unfortunately, we are in an environment where it is highly competitive. And we are trying to train our resources. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, Mom said you wanted to follow through. There's nothing that has come to you. Oh, okay.
The issue that all of your presenters are interested in may put on the finish of any of your presentations. So, but there's a few things that all of you, I need to mention before we ask you. The first one you are talking about the question of the answer. I'm not sure whether it's an instrument of the
And that goes on to another point, it says, you are scientists. You are supposed to be doing your work properly. But before I go on to that, maybe let me try and address a little bit to Dadekegan. I think Dadekegan, we as the secretariat made a mistake, because when we called them, we said they're not coming to give us an overview. And I think in giving us an overview, they didn't go into details into some of the things. But we are waiting for a period where we're going to be engaging them heavily on all those things, even going to where they are working. So they might have left other things, or might have left the people who are on those, because they thought, we just want to give them overview. But that is not protecting you from not answering your questions. So, but I think it was on that basis that I get them. So I'm not apologizing for them, but that's the way that we've invited them. We invited them to say, come and give us an overview, because of the fact that that goes to this pertinent point that I don't want us to discuss. But I don't want you to leave the department and the researchers being afraid of doing something. I think as researchers, you just need to be honest and say, this is the situation. You decide what you do about it, but these are the facts. That's what researchers are supposed to do. And don't go out here being scared that if I go to the meeting, I won't say 1, 2, and 3, because I'm protecting this. Don't do that, otherwise you'll be failing as a researcher. But if you're a politician, which is on this side, then I can go to the center and say, no, don't worry about that one. I'm not saying politicians are like that, but for political reasons, there are certain things that I will bypass. But for you, they're just doing your research, doing it as it is, and all you're doing, you are not saying do it, or you're not forcing us to do it. You're just saying, these are the facts, decide what you do, and continue doing that. Wherever you go, just be honest and do it. And in fact, I think going back to the history of South Africa, was involved. Because I mean, being in health myself, I know some of the research that were done by researchers, which we didn't want to take to any other level. But when it was shooting these then government, it would portray TV when they wanted funding from outside. They would put all these transcribe, render, these things that they say they didn't belong to them. But when they want to show that things were, I'm talking about the previous government, and that was done by researchers, which was wrong, as far as I'm concerned. And it's the same thing that was happening with some of the professionals, like the doctor who looked after people, who would actually go and do unethical things because they want to satisfy politicians. Now it's time for you to be honest in your research. Either a professional, work ethically. Do your work properly. It's up to them to take it or not to take it. So don't be afraid of mentioning something that you think is important. Because this is our history and we want to have informed decisions. But if then we decide that this party would leave for political reasons, I'm not going to do this because it's going to turn this way. Leave it to politicians. But having honestly mentioned what to say, I want to stress it that as scientists, that be honest, work with integrity and humility with what you see, and don't take sides. It's us politicians that are going to decide what to do. You might see me as a medical doctor facing I vote for the committee. And you ask why you don't say, no, it's a political decision. Don't ask questions. It's a political decision that why you said that. But as professors, as scientists, do your work properly. Don't go out here being scared. Don't let high blood pressure go up because you have said that, hey, if I mention this, it's going to be taken otherwise. So, as politicians, we are going to handle some of it. We know our history. We know where we come from. And we're going to beg each other to understand that certain things happened and they were done by law. And obviously, we don't want to address them by fighting. But we want people to understand that that was wrong. And let's be human enough to say, I apologize. I should not have done what I did. But I did not know. I mean, I don't have to make an example, but you know, one day I was doing medicine in Natal. I'm not making this example because this is what I'm saying, because we seem not to be working together in trying to build the country. But you know what happened? Somebody asked me to look after his house. You know, I'm a rural man. I'm coming from rural areas. In rural areas, I was poor. I'm coming from humble beginnings. I'm just making an example with myself. At home, the dogs would actually stay outside. I would never go and buy food for a dog. They would get whatever that is left. But this man said to me, okay, look after my house. I'm going to Britain. Look after my house. And then when he was giving me money to look after the house, he said, this money is for electricity, this one is for water, this one is for groceries, and this one is for food of dog. No, I don't love it because I'm not going to respond. Because I'm coming from rural area, I've never used money to buy for dog. It was a culture shock for me, for somebody to tell me that this is money for buying food for dog. So I said, I'm not going to buy. I didn't say it to him. I kept quiet. But I knew as soon as he gets into the lake, I'm going to take that money and buy something else, not for dog. But now, when I became old and I started loving dog, I felt that I need to buy for that. That changed me. And now I have a budget at home that I'm practicing for dog. But the people where I come from, now you imagine where we come from, our history. In our history, all that was known about me was that I should stay and milk cows and plow garden and get a meagre salary because I'm an African. That's a reality. That's what was happening. And the kids in farms, the white kids in farms, used to know that this one is not supposed to eat with us on the table. Now all of a sudden you see that person being your president. Is this not going to be a culture shock? It is. It is going to be a culture shock for the president that I used to know to be staying behind doors, not even being known that he's a human being. And Trump comes, you have to argue. Now it's going to take time. This is why we're begging each other that let's understand we're all human beings. Can we accept each other and say, what happened was wrong? Let's try and alleviate it. I'm not talking politics, I'm just talking about humanity. I'm just talking about humanity, that this is a human being. I can't allow this person to suffer. Let me try to suffer. Now, and you ask yourself a question, if I'm seeing somebody in the street here who's begging, do I say that person is because he's lazy that he's sitting there? No. Some of them, they wanted to be something, but they couldn't be because the laws were not allowing them to. Some of us who were educated, we managed to be lucky to be educated. But the laws were making such that we are not supposed to. I remember, as I got to narrate the story, I was working at a hospital which is called Woodward. You know, I got into a room. There was a white lady that I was supposed to examine. I was a registrar, a senior registrar, about to be a specialist. And I was put at Woodward because they knew my skills as a doctor. So they put me there that I could handle fights. So I went to the lady, they said, okay, see this lady, she's got the epilepsy, she's a state patient, see him. You know, when I was about to examine her, I had forgotten that my stethoscope was outside. So I went to fetch my stethoscope. When I came back with my stethoscope, the mother and the father were there. And they said to me, no, daughter, we don't think you need to see our kid. We'll take care to a private hospital. And the simple reason was because I was black. It's because I was black. And fortunately, the professor who was there, my head, knew exactly. He's not a politician, but when he came, he said, no, you don't want to be seen by Kofuna because he's an African. If you don't want, get out and go to another place. It was very bad. They had to beg now and say, okay, we allow Kofuna to see us because they didn't have money to attend, but it was on racial ground. Now, all we are saying was, can we come together and understand that we are all human beings and we belong to this world. And let's make sure that we make it a better world for all of us and move forward and build South Africa. And we don't want a situation where we're going to let them do something. We're going to let them each other on color. We want a situation, let's say, it's so-and-so who did this. Because if we're labeling on color, then we're going to have a problem. So with that, I'm just begging you, member, let's leave this, because they were definitely the suggestion. Let's leave them to be officials and scientists, and give them to us to help them. But we've got a very positive future for us in South Africa. We've got a beautiful country, which is not the work that you're doing in science and technology, and we're going to be hell-bent on promoting you and making sure that the information that you have, whether we use it or we don't use it, but it must come. We must know about it so that we go and work with honesty, humility, integrity, respecting everybody. I always say to people, I'm a Christian, by the way. And being a Christian, I don't think I would ever see God. And I don't think I know God. But all I know, but what I know is that God created man, and God created even the poor people. If I like the poor people and I try and help them, especially at the age I am, then it means I've seen God. I've known God. Because God is not in heaven, he's actually in the poor people. And all I'm interested is to make sure that I help. I suspect that's why I left my practice. That's why I left my profession, is to try and see what can I do for them before I die. So that at least I can gain something out of my being in this world. So that when I die, at least even if I've helped one person to realize their dreams, then now they've done something. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah.